that happens every year at this time. We got to say goodbye to all our regulars who help us out so much. And by the way, Steve Earle and the Dukes, 30th anniversary of Copperhead Road. That tour hits MTELUS, formerly Metropolis, on September the 18th. It's the album in its entirety and a whole lot more. Along with Mitch Gallo, Dave Trentadue is in for Rod Francis. Erica Santori is helping us out. Mitch Melnick until Noel Butler's Oranges at halftime at 7 o'clock. Welcome back, Gordon Miller. How are you?
I am very well, sir.
All right.
Where's my billboard?
Well, it's the end of the run.
So they quit. They pulled the plug.
Well, that's it. It's the fine print in the contract. As soon as we get to the last week of June, that's it. But thank you to Morella's. We got to take you there because you'll love it. I know you're a big wine guy. In addition to enjoying fine food. It's as good as any spot, honestly, especially when you cross the Mercier Bridge and for bringing Gord and Michael Farber and Pierre Lebrun all season long, culminating in this hit today. This is it. This is the last one.
We will go there in September.
You'll be here in September? Is that a guarantee?
I'm pretty sure I'll do a preseason game or two there, so yes, we will go there.
All right. What are they going to look like? Who is their number one centerman going to be?
Thomas Buchanan. No, that was unkind, wasn't it? I guess it's Jonathan Drouin, isn't it?
No, it's not going to be Jonathan Drouin. Come on, Gord.
I don't know.
Who's their number one center going to be when Gord is doing their preseason game?
It will be Ryan O'Reilly, Tyler Bozak, or Paul Stastny. One of the three.
One of those three.
Oh, you weren't asking me. I mean, among the current, you're saying like who's going to be coming? That's going to be the number one center.
Yeah. Do you buy that?
I'm going back to Jonathan Drouin.
All right, so I know you're a numbers guy, not in terms of being a charter member of the analytics community, but you study trends and all that because you like to know what you're talking about, right?
Sure.
How would you handicap what Gallo just threw at you?
I don't think they're going to go for Ryan O'Reilly. Stastny or Bozak make a lot of sense. Stastny would make the most sense. They'd be willing to give him term and money. And that's what some teams would be hesitant to do. Teams would be hesitant on Stastny on term.
And what I would tell you is that with Ryan O'Reilly, he doesn't have to agree to come to Montreal for you to acquire him.
No, he doesn't. But you're gonna have to give up assets to get him, and other teams might be willing to give up more than you see, because I don't think Buffalo is dealing Ryan O'Reilly unless they get a center back.
Yeah, I think we're all trying to figure out how this would work. Because clearly the Canadians were interested, and I think the vast majority of Montreal Canadiens fans are very, very happy they did not give up their third overall pick to get Ryan O'Reilly.
Sure.
But they were trying, but it doesn't seem to be a match in terms of assets. Like, it appears that Marc Bergevin has to go outside of the normal discussion on a trade to bring something in that he doesn't currently have in order to get Ryan O'Reilly.
Right. So if you look at, potential deals around the league and you look at who would be looking at Ryan O'Reilly, they have centers to give, younger, maybe unproven, not as experienced as Ryan O'Reilly, but they'd give you a center back. I would say for the most part, when you trade a defenseman or a center, you're looking to get one back. It doesn't always work that way, but for the most part, when you're doing that, you're looking to get one back.
Who makes the most sense to you at this moment for Paul Stastny?
I'd say St. Louis, since they got left up the track on John Tavares. Obviously, whichever teams don't get Tavares will probably take a long look at Stastny, won't they?
Sure.
So.
But that's quite the drop-off.
Different player, but.
Gord, can you make sense of the what we're seeing here? I mean, we've seen it before with everybody heading out to meet him and make their pitch, but I'm a little confused by the reported phone conversations they're having with people who weren't invited. Like, what would that be about?
Well, I guess, depending who called who, if teams are saying, hey, is it too late for us to be heard? We'd like to make a pitch. We'd really like to make a pitch. Could we please make a pitch? You know, that sort of thing. Would you reconsider? Or is it, you know, CAA saying we're listening? Listen, there's nothing precluding the Tavares group from signing with a team that didn't make a presentation. There's no rule that says you have to. It would be pretty poor form to do that. And I think it would hurt the reputation of the agency to do that, because, you know, it's not a one-shot deal. You got to deal with these teams again. So I think the dragging, I find it funny, of the six teams that are presenting, five are from the East, and they all have to go to L.A.
Yes.
Like, you could get a hotel room in New York.
Yeah, Muhammad and the Mountain playing itself out here.
Yeah. I mean, I find it interesting with the Tavares thing that, and talking to a lot of NHL management people the last few days, the three teams that are in it, Boston, Tampa, and Toronto, are intriguing because they're also strong down the middle.
Yeah, you drop Tavares into the lineup of any of those three teams, and they go from looking very strong to powerful.
They do, but they can't. I mean, who moves? Like, you're not going to have Bergeron, Tavares, and Krejci in Boston. You know, I mean.
Well, I think most Bruins fans would trade Tavares for Krejci.
Yeah, you're going to move Krejci out.
Yeah.
It's just odd that you're looking at that player at a position where you're already really strong. Like, you know, the strength of those teams is arguably down the middle.
And look who won the cup from the Eastern Conference, right?
They did. Here's the interesting part of that, though. And certainly, you know, with Backstrom and Kuznetsov, and Pittsburgh with Crosby and Malkin, and Chicago with Taves and, whoever. They had a rotating group of centers in there. It's intriguing, though, that they weren't free agents. And the problem in Chicago is they're paying their top two forwards $22 million a year, or $21 million a year. So if you bring in Tavares, someone has to go. Not in Toronto, not right away. But eventually someone would have to go in Toronto.
I'm going to ask you this, and it's not rhetorical, and I really haven't paid much attention, so I really don't know. But is there an excitement level about the Leafs meeting with Tavares as there was with Stamkos? Is it the same thing or more or less?
Not the same level, to be sure. You know, the Leafs meeting with Stamkos was 2 years ago when they were in a very different situation. I think if they don't get Tavares, I mean, I don't know why they're in on Tavares, and I'm not sure why Tavares would want to come here. I don't get the whole thing, and the people that I talk to in the game don't get it either, but because it sends a funny message to Austin Matthews.
What's the message? What message is we want to win the cup, kid? No?
Yeah, but we just had this meeting where, you know, we've talked about your ice time, and we're going to play you more, you know, because he was 40th in ice time for centers in the NHL this year.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Right, so we're going to play you more. Oh, we're bringing in a new number one center.
Yeah, but and then?
Well, as a free agent.
How much ice time? Well, no, this is a good point that I hadn't even thought of. Okay, let's assume that they can work that out with Austin Matthews and he'll understand. Mm-hmm. But then where does Nazem Kadri's ice time go?
Well, where does he go? I mean, it's just an odd fit to me. I get the 1-2 punch because you go back to Gretzky and Messier and Yzerman and Fedorov and Lemieux and Francis and
Crosby and Malkin.
Sacking Forsberg and Sakic and Crosby, the whole spiel. But I get those, but those were mostly players that they had drafted together or traded for. Free agency is a different thing because Tavares is going to come in $10 to $12 million, okay? Matthews is going to get 10 to 12 next year. You still don't have a defenseman. Now, I guess you could argue, well, you'll trade William Nylander to get a defenseman. Okay, but the cap room gets eaten up pretty quick, even with the cap going up. Like, you still got to do Marner. You've got to replace Bozak and Van Riemsdyk and Komarov. And you can say all you want about how, you know, you'll just get somebody else. you can't just throw someone in an NHL uniform and say they're an NHL player. That's not how it works. Those are bona fide. You can laugh all you want at Leo Komarov. He's a bona fide NHL player. That's hard to replace.
Yeah, I don't think people laugh. I think no, people, I think people visualize Brad Marchand licking him, and then they laugh.
Right, right. But fans might say in Montreal, you know, like, you know, Thomas Plekanec, you know, losing him, he was expendable. Sure enough, but he's a veteran guy who knows his way around the league, and it's hard to find those guys.
With Gord Miller, just a few more minutes remaining with Gord. Another great year talking mostly hockey, but a whole lot of stuff. On Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690, we're going to send somebody to Toronto courtesy of WestJet to see the Blue Jays Tampa Bay. And we have a 3-day double pass for the Montreal edition of Comic-Con right around the corner at the Palais de Congrès. Melnick, Gallo, and Dave Trentadue in for Rod
Francis. Can I tell you my favorite? I got to tell you a funny Comic-Con thing.
Sure.
In Chicago, LA's playing there in the playoffs. So the Kings are staying in our hotel, and there's a Comic-Con going on. So Daryl Sutter comes out and is looking for the team bus and walks up to a guy who's in a Jean-Luc Picard Star Trek costume and says, "Can you tell me where the team bus is?" And the guy says, "No." And Daryl says, "Don't you work here?" And the guy says, "No." He says, "You're not a doorman?" He says, "No." "Why are you dressed like that then?" Daryl Sutter meeting Comic-Con was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. And it's hard to believe that that's on the same planet.
And he just made his retirement announcement, right, Daryl Sutter?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So Gallo was going to throw something your way one more time here.
Well, just, you know, we spoke about Tampa, and Dallas is also in the mix, and we know Florida and Texas, there's no state tax. So just how big a factor do you think that is in Tavares' situation? Because both those teams are really good, or at least Tampa is, and Dallas could be with Tavares. The fact that he can make so much more money over a 7-year deal with those two teams.
You know what, Mitch, I wouldn't say it's the deciding factor, but if it's close, that's one of them for sure. And I think that, you know, Stamkos told people privately when he was making his decision that a couple of things, the privacy, you know, going to Toronto would have meant, or Montreal or anywhere else, would have meant a lot of loss of privacy and freedom. And secondly, the tax difference. He talked a lot about the taxes. I think it makes a difference for sure. I think it's you know, if it's close, you're going to go where there's more money for sure. And I mean, I don't know if you've seen that calculator that Frank Cervelli put out today, but you can put in the average annual value of a Tavares contract, and it'll show you what his take-home is for each of the six teams he's talking to, and it's a pretty wide comparison.
I think I saw like $10 million difference over a 7-year deal.
More than that, I think if you put him in at $11 million a year, the difference for playing in Ontario, he'd take home $36 million in Ontario, and he takes home $48 in Tampa.
Have you ever seen a multi-million dollar athlete's pay stub?
Yes.
Me too. Me too. What's that?
It's astonishing.
What was the circumstance?
I actually, believe it or not, I was walking back from the rink in Pittsburgh, and in a driving rainstorm, and a Penguins player saw me and offered me a lift, and his paycheck, they used to have paychecks, was in the console of his car. and I looked down, and I was like, holy.
Yeah, yeah. That ever happened to you,
and that
Bella?
That was 15 years ago.
Yeah, it happened to me in 94. I was taught very early, never, ever let a team employee pick up a check when you're out, mm-hmm. if you happen to be in the same place, and I absolutely insisted, and Mike Lansing put his hand on my hand and said, "It's on us." And I said, "No, it's okay. It's the station will pay." He said, "It's on us." I said, "Mike, can you take your hand off my hand?" And he reached into his wallet, and it was on him.
Yeah. There was a Wendell Clark took his truck in to get it washed one time, and it was going to get vacuumed inside, and found a check for $28,000 under the driver's seat.
Oh, forgot about that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that. And then we used to have a deal at TSN to buy appliances through Sony or electronics through Sony.
Right.
And so he said, "Can you get me like a big screen TV?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." So I got it for, we ordered it for him and everything else. And he gave me $15,000 cash.
Expect like, a change?
Like, do you not have a checkbook? No. So she gave me $15,000 cash. I'm walking, and the problem was I walked around looking like a guy who had $15,000 cash in his pocket. Like I looked terrified. I should have worn a rob me sign.
I could picture that. All right. In conclusion here, we don't know how this is going to end up. We suspect that Max Pacioretty, when you're calling a Habs preseason game in September, will be elsewhere. What did you make of how everything went down and firing an agent for the second time? And
I just don't. It just seems like there's this funny. You know how magnets repel each other? You know when you try to push magnets together and you get the two charges on the same side. You know how they bounce off each other? That seems like the Canadians and Max Pacioretty right now. It just seems like everything they say and do just is off. And, you know, a trade, they try to make a trade, it falls apart. The statement at the end of the year about, you know, our attitude from day one was terrible. Just everything just seems to be off step. It's the best way I can put it. And I think he needs a fresh start. I think they need to probably move on. Unfortunately, how do you replace that? You know, a down year, 17 goals, but how do you replace that? You know, Pacioretty is one of the most underpaid players in the league, for sure. And he's going to get paid at some point. But it's just unfortunate that it just hasn't seemed to mesh for whatever reason. And I don't know why. And I just think that now, one of the worst things that can happen with a player, you know, your captain and a franchise player, you have to find out that you're almost but not traded.
And in about a calendar year, the Canadians, if in fact a deal goes through for Pacioretty, will have lost Alexander Radulov, Alex Galchenyuk, and Max Pacioretty.
Yeah, and then the question you're going to ask is, what's the return?
Yeah, where are the goals coming from? Yep.
And it's hard, like, you know, like, this is the hard part of it, Mitch, is that you're exactly right. Where do the goals come from? It's hard to find people to score goals. Scoring goals is the hardest thing to do in the NHL. And it's really hard. Like, all those people that carved Ovechkin all those years, he's just a goal scorer? Yeah? Well, guess what? That's what they put in the scoreboard.
That's why a lot of teams are interested in
effort. Like, you don't see on the scoreboard effort and hard work. It's the score.
It's been a real treat talking to you all year again, Gord, and occasionally Blair, too. And
yeah, my pleasure.
Have yourself a terrific summer.
You too, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.